Calling the school board meeting to order, please. Mara, will you determine a quorum, please?
Yes.
Kari Peterson?
Here.
Carrie Case?
Yes.
Katie Holmland?
Here.
Mark Taylor?
Here.
And we presume Sarah is on her way.
Yes. Okay, please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Nailed it. Did it? And Sarah has arrived.
I am so sorry. Did not get my doors open in time.
Okay, do you want to jump right in or should I do the approval of the agenda?
Go ahead.
We have a motion to approve the agenda.
I second that.
Okay. Motion was made, seconded by Carrie. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, student representative report.
Where do I stand?
Oh,
I just had a set
right here. All dressed for your concert.
Ready to go.
That's like gorgeous. A sneak peek.
Forgive me for using my phone. I didn't want to have to cart around my backpack again. We are having our Day of Giving this Friday. We have a door decorating contest, which is ending on Thursday, and the office ladies are going to look at all of them and then judge them. And then on Friday, the winner will be announced and given an award. Finals are going to be after winter break. We have a concert tonight, which is the high school jazz choir and concert band concert, and tomorrow will be both of the middle school concerts. Tonight is also the art show, and basketball season is in full swing. They are leaving this weekend to go to Craig.
Tonight
they are leaving to go to Craig. Mm-hmm. They learned this today.
Oh, wow. Okay. What's on the agenda for Day of Giving?
Day of Giving is a Miss Etcher. The students know very little about this.
So we have several different options around town. We have HIP that we're helping with some donations and bagging meal bags, working with Salvation Army for helping them organize donations at the store and also with bell ringing. We are making cookies and cards for different people and groups around town that have done great things for our students or staff members or the school district in general. Let me think. Oh, long-term care, gonna go do some activities with our senior citizens, caroling around town. Offering some babysitting at the Parks and Rec. We just got that finalized. And so they normally have, oh gosh, the tot time, what is that called in the Parks and Rec, from 9 to 11. And so we will have people available there to watch children if people need to go and run some errands. We'll be advertising that tomorrow. I think there are a few others, but they're escaping me at the moment. Does that help?
Great. Sounds like you'll be all over the community.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Great.
All the seniors are very excited to do it again. We haven't gotten to do it since our freshman year.
Nice.
Very exciting.
Great.
Thank you very much. I'm excited that it's come back. I know that we had finals usually this week, and now that it's been shifted, it's, I think, given the opportunity to come back and do it. So. Okay, any correspondence, Mara?
No.
Okay, moving on to comments from the audience unrelated to agenda items. Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to comments from the audience related to agenda items. Okay, again, seeing none, comments from board members?
Welcome to our new board member. Thanks for joining the ranks.
Thank you. Yeah.
Next, we'll move on to the consent agenda. I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda. Could I have a second?
A second.
Motion's been made and seconded by Kari. Any discussions? This includes our monthly accounting, our regular board minutes, and a few other items on there. Hearing none, Mark, could you please call the roll?
Yes, Carrie Case?
Yes.
Mark Taylor?
Yes.
Katie Holmland?
Yes.
Kari Peterson?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. Next, we'll move on to our administrative reports. And we'll start out with our superintendent.
All right. Well, I would also like to issue a welcome to Mr. Taylor. You have a beautiful last name. But we're happy to have you on the board here with these ladies. We had our first snow day yesterday, and I'm told that it's been 10 to 12 years. I don't know, but I keep hearing that it's
2021.
Been,
yeah, we had one when we had the 8 feet and had to shovel snow.
Oh, I thought that was over Christmas break, but.
No, we went a day or two into it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's been a while,
but I do appreciate.
Because we're very grateful.
Do really appreciate that just what I've seen of the community-wide effort of trying to just clear roads and drives. I know our district maintenance guys had been up here pretty much since about Thursday night or Thursday morning, about at 3:30 in the morning each day, mm-hmm. trying to get snow moved. You know, they were aware of the recital and the games happening this weekend, so they were putting forth effort to also have the area cleared for that. And then when the call was made Sunday night, I can tell you there was a group of superintendents that in Southeast that we were texting back and forth, and we all made the call about the same time of just like, you know what, we, for safety, we got to call it. So we all did together. But really appreciate, like I said, the community as a whole, but really our DOT, the borough, and our maintenance guys just doing everything they can to get the snow moved, and it's a lot. people have been asking me about the status of the roof, and every day Aaron is going through and checking the buildings for structural stability, and right now everything seems okay. So if we get to that point that we need to do an all call for folks to come help shovel, we will definitely get the word out. But we're not there yet. So, and then otherwise, you guys have my report. Just really briefly, this is the time of year that we really invite our community, our parents, to give input on our teachers and our administrators, as well as asking our staff to also give input on administratively how we're doing. You know, a lot of times we don't know what we don't know until we know it. And it's easy to assume people have ideas of maybe where they're doing well or not doing as well, but this just gives an opportunity for input for us across the board. Teacher in service is happening January 5th and 6th. We have Yana from Corwin joining us again, and she will be on site Monday through Thursday. So she'll spend 2 days with the staff and then 2 days being able to work with staff independently and go in classrooms. And it's really been a beautiful blend of the support from Yana with Corwin, as well as NIET support, and then the blending professionally for our staff of the two grants, the Raising the Bar for Alaska Schools, this is ending in the end of September, will be year three, and then the introduction of the Comprehensive Literacy Statewide Development Grant. So we're really trying to merge those together and not have staff feel like they are two separate things when really the intention of student success is combined in one. So that will be January. Shannon will be doing a quick informational piece on the budget. And then lastly, we are preparing to put out to bid the next phase of our security improvement project. That's gonna actually, we're intending to go out to bid December 21st, allowing almost a month for contractors to put together their bids, and we're asking the state for what's called an alternative project delivery method, that in essence we've created a priority list of work that needs to be done, and kind of allows us to have like an a la carte menu, but really it's like our priority zero is replacing the doors that were identified as fire safety code condition hazards. And priority zero. Priority one goes to fobbing some of the exterior doors.
priority 1B is an intercom system across the district, because I think we're functioning off of a late 80s model that is not always adequate. And you know, we did experience that incident this year when we were in teacher in-service, and so we just want to make sure we're safe that way. Then priority 2 will include fobbing, electronic access, some of the high use areas like your gymnasium, the library, definitely our principal's offices, but those shouldn't be high use, but administrative areas, and then high use areas, and then priority 3 starts moving to teachers' classrooms, and priority 4 is more of our maintenance stores. When this entire project started, the original intent was to do electronic access for all of the doors. But for cost efficiencies, that's not necessarily a realistic piece to be happening at this point. But the floor plans are in place for it, and the schematics are all done for it. So now we're just kind of reprioritizing the scope of work. Mm-hmm. So I think those were the main things I had.
Any questions? I'm curious, on the snow day, will we need to make that up with one of the in-services or tag it on?
We may. Okay. We may. I am scheduled to meet with the Department of Education on Friday morning along with Wrangell and Cake, since we're all kind of in the same boat. So,
okay.
So we may be granted an emergency closure, but we might not. So to be determined.
Okay. All right. Any other questions? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to Principal Kahn. Welcome.
I have no other things to report. Does anybody have any questions?
I was curious who the artist in residence. I don't know if I just missed that.
It's Ashley Lohr. Yeah.
Our own artist.
Yeah, we actually, she came to us, and then we thought, well, let's just go ahead and get the grant. So then we applied for the grant and we got it, and she's in there. She's missed 2 days, well, kind of 1.5 days this week, but the kids are loving it. I'm not an artiste, so I'm learning things every day.
And how are the behavioral? Is it continuing to be a challenge, or has it improved at all?
Oh, it's continuing to be a challenge. This week is, a bad week to ask. Come back to me in January. Yeah.
I figure with all the snow, everybody's itching to be done for Christmas break, and it might be a challenging week. Oh,
yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that. Any other questions? Okay, thank you. Next, Mr. King for middle school, high school.
And you can use the podium.
Oh. I also have nothing additional to add. If you have any questions for me, I'm more than happy to answer them.
Yours, I don't think, was attached, Brad, so you may want to go over some of yours.
Well, I didn't bring it with me, so I was hoping it was attached. But it's right there.
I'm able to pull it up.
Wonder why. So the curriculum committee, we're continuing, so that's one of the things right there that we're working on. We should have a draft for the January board meeting. Teachers, the committee will be getting me their pieces by the 12th of January, so I can put it together for you. Everything else is pretty much in there. And other than that, I have nothing to add unless there's questions to that or other things.
Hopefully you're having a good week of not having discipline issues.
We put up a poster in our lunchroom, kind of as a humor thing, you know, days without suspension, and I'm adding, you know, the number of days there. The number's going up, so that's good.
All right, any questions? Okay, thank you. All right, Director of Activities. I saw Mr. Kroll.
Yeah,
he's in Florida. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that is a much better place to be.
But I will tag on, Heidi said that the basketball team is headed to Craig, but that's only the boys. The girls will be playing this weekend, so come out and see them Friday and Saturday nights.
I saw on his report the tentative schedule is JV at 5:30 and then varsity at 7 both nights.
Sure.
Craig's not bringing a JV girls team.
And I thought the game was Saturday morning, so they could get on the boat or plane.
The second game is 11 a.m. on Saturday morning. The first one, I think it's 5:30.
Friday night.
And
Saturdays.
And 11 a.m. Saturday morning, because they're going to catch their early plane out.
So we'll get that confirmed and put it out maybe on Facebook.
Yeah, Lori was going to post that.
Okay.
today.
Okay, so at least 7 o'clock Friday?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Hopefully everybody had a chance to read the facilities and maintenance report. Did anybody have any questions that maybe... It's pretty straightforward. As well as director of the technology report and the food service report. Anybody questions on those? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to our committee reports. Crisis, Katie.
Just trying to avoid them.
Probably haven't needed to meet yet. And curriculum, it sounds like you guys are moving along.
Yeah, I think they've been reviewing curriculum. I haven't been able to attend meetings, but hopefully I'll be able to the one before they present to the board.
Okay. Facilities, we did have our initial one, but it's kind of been punted back to our superintendent, as well as Aaron, have been going through it to kind of prioritize what really can be accomplished on a couple different levels, and then we'll come back and have a further discussion on if there's things that need to be specifically addressed in our budget, whether we can hire locally, or if it's too big a project that has to be hired at a different level. Legislative liaison, we don't have anything going on right now, nor negotiations. Policy, we got a couple things on the docket.
Yeah, a couple things on the docket, even though it says bomb threat and pandemic, but it is minor.
Those do seem pretty heavy.
Two big topics. But yeah.
Okay. Technology, probably haven't needed to meet yet. No? Okay. Wellness.
I would, again, offer up this committee to someone else. I cannot make those meetings.
Okay.
I think they've been meeting almost monthly, and I just can't get away from Peterskog. So.
Okay. It's like four times a year, and December was postponed until January.
Oh,
so
okay.
If someone wants to make that second meeting.
Okay, so wellness is four times a year, and curriculum's almost monthly, right?
Well, they've been working independently, though, too, on curriculum stuff. So.
Okay.
But, yeah, I just can't get away from work on those afternoons.
So Mark, we're gonna put you on the spot, or I can also do it too. Curriculum is more, we are attending, if possible, the meetings that they have with staff on just, and I, in the past when I've been on, I just pretty much listen because I'm not an expert on it, but it's more of just being able to know what's going on as a board member. So then we do have a work session before we adopt the curriculum, so that we can extensively go over it, but okay. It's up until then, it's kind of more of just being the board's representative on that committee to just sit
being
and listen.
Present.
Be yeah. present. The other one, of course, is wellness. It's part of some of our grants that we have a wellness committee, and that, like she said, meets four times a year. It's not a, so if you're interested in either of those. You want to do wellness? Okay.
And great. I can stay on the curriculum one.
Okay.
That's fine. I should be able to make
if
that
you,
next
yeah,
one.
And let me know if you can't make it. I can probably step in. Why don't we just plan on that? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
And then budget, we have Kari, but would you like to continue to be a part of that too, Mark?
Yeah, I'll probably
I'll
attend those.
Okay. Okay.
So that means if both of them are attending, nobody else can, right?
Correct. I will not show up again.
Oh, interesting.
You can.
Yes,
we just have to notify.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Okay. But that's all right. I'm not needed. Two is plenty. So, do you guys want to just let everybody know what was said at the last budget meeting? I was looking for my notes.
It was just the adjustment that we're looking at today and how much that, how much the money is to get it below the 10% and the ideas for spending that money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. No, that sums it up pretty well.
Okay. All right. Any other comments or questions from committee reports? Okay, we'll move on. There is no old business, so we'll move on to new business, which is our fiscal year 2026 budget revision. Finance Director Baird will present the winter budget revision.
Do you guys have to vote on it first?
No,
we
have
to make a motion and second it.
And then the discussion involves you telling us about it. So I'll make a motion to, it seems bizarre and backwards, but it's the way they tell us to do it in all the training. So I'll make a motion to approve the 2026 winter budget revision.
I will second.
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded, and now we'll have the presentation and have a further discussion.
I always question that. I'm like,
I know, it seems really strange, but here, you know, we've seen the materials before we came to the board meeting, so here we should know what we're...
And a lot of this in front of you is the actual packet from the budget committee meeting that was a couple of weeks ago that Kari and Mark were at. And this winter revision slides, it's, all those slides are in your paper packet plus more are in your paper packet. So rather than print off new ones, I figured I'd reuse those. Save some paper and ink. Yeah, so there will be some pages that you can skip or you can just follow along with the TV up there. So it's pretty quick because we're not bringing you a whole lot on the expenditure side, but I'll update you on kind of the key drivers in our state funding, and then we'll look at what is changing in the winter budget revision and talk about spring budget revision and plans going forward with fund balance, because that's going to be the major item of discussion. Okay. All right, so one of the two main factors that drive our state funding is the BSA, the base student allocation, and this is just an update on the pencil chart, so what the BSA would be if it had kept up with inflation since fiscal year 11, it would be $7,943. We're $1,283 below that now at $6,660, and that is with that $700 increase we just received. And I like this pencil chart because it shows what the BSA was, right? That's the pencil, but then that text above each pencil, that's one-time funding. And it is good to note that one-time funding because we got a $700 increase to the BSA for fiscal year 26, but we got $680 in one-time funding the prior year. So really it's only $20 increase when you think about what we actually got for funding. And then the next slide is looking at our enrollment over time. And this is an update because we originally budgeted for fiscal year 26 with 435.5 students, but we came in quite a bit higher. We, in our count period in October, came in at 465.85, so an extra 30 students. And our intensive count is higher than we originally budgeted. So those are big drivers in our funding formula with the state, that BSA and the student increase from what we originally budgeted. And for next year, I'll point out we are projecting that we'll have less students next year at 449.5 is what we're projecting right now. Just looking at the known factors, there's a lot that's not known, but we know the size of our outgoing seniors, and we know pretty well that incoming kindergartners for next year, and then we know of a couple families that are leaving the community, but there's a lot we don't know, so that could change, but that's what we're projecting right now. Okay. And then we'll hop into the winter budget revision. So in white was our original fiscal year 26 budget. That light blue column are the proposed changes that I'm asking you to adopt tonight. And then if you do adopt, that medium blue column will be the new adopted budget. So first we'll talk about that beginning fund balance, and then we'll dive into revenue and then expenditure and talk about our ending fund balance and going forward what we're planning to do with that, because again, we are over that 10%. We're not allowed to carry more than 10% at the end of this year. That's now going to be back in practice. It was, gosh, what, for 5 years COVID until the end of fiscal year 25 it was waived, but now we will be held to that 10%. So the beginning fund balance at the top of that ends. It's bigger on your page in front of you, probably easier to read. We are coming into the year with a larger fund balance than we had originally budgeted because our ending fund balance in fiscal year 25 ended up being larger. And that is mostly due to, you know, that budget to actual variance. We didn't spend everything we budgeted in fiscal year 25. And we'll talk about those, variances a little bit later in the discussion. But we're coming in with another more than $500,000 than we had originally planned. So let me find, I think that puts us over 20% right now. Yeah, so we're sitting at 20.65% fund balance, so double what we're allowed to carry. All right, we'll move into revenue. Thanks, Mara. Okay, so overall, our revenue is increasing $932,205. A lot of that is due to state funding. So So we talked about that increase in student count and that increase to the BSA. We had originally been budgeting for an increased BSA, but only $500 increase because the governor had vetoed $200 of it, if you'll remember. His veto was overridden, so we did get the full $700 increase. So with that funding, $200 increase, and the increase in students, and a three student increase to our intensive count, which those, if you remember, are factored in the formula times 13. So we get a lot larger amount per student on those. That brings us in at $891,000 and change increase in state funding. And the state funding makes up about 2/3 of our budget, so that's very significant. We also have an increase in E-rate revenue built into this budget. This was an oversight on my part, to be honest. John and I were planning this last spring, but I did not build this in. That was a complete oversight. But it has zero effect on the overall net budget because it's just offset as a revenue and an expenditure. It's grant money that we're getting from the federal E-rate program for like our tech hardware, like John's not here, he could say it all better, but to update our network and keep things running smoothly. We had some Category 2 funds, so they're offset. Overall, it doesn't have an effect, but I do have to state it in the budget. We do have to have it in our financials. So that was an oversight. We're building that in here, and you'll see it also in the expenditures later. And then I have increased our projected investment earnings. So again, we came into the year with more fund balance than we had originally budgeted. My original budget investment earnings was calculating on, you know, how much we would have a fund balance to invest. So more money to invest, more earnings. And we are, I think it was in July, maybe June, I did ask you guys to pass an amendment to the board policy on investing that allows me to invest a little more aggressively as well. So that's another reason I'm increasing that. Not aggressive, like risky, just have more of our cash in and out quicker. I won't have to come to you for each request to invest. So that just allows me to have money in there whenever we have it on hand and make the most of our fund balance. Right, and this next slide just shows you again the breakup of the pie chart, but again, about 1/3 of our funding is still coming from the borough. About 2/3 is coming from the state, and then we have those little pieces of pie are that investment earnings, other local revenues, and our E-rate funding. All right, next we're gonna be that second part of that winter budget revision. We're gonna drop down to the bottom half, the expenditures. Okay. Yes, please do.
So the investments, how is that set up? Are we doing it with the borough?
Mm-hmm. It's not.
Do you remember this? I'm just wondering. Are we doing it separate from the borough, or were we doing it in conjunction with the borough?
The borough and us are both part of the Alaska Municipal League Investment Pool. So it's not the borough that's investing the money for us, but we're both part of AMLIP.
Okay.
And that is something that municipalities and school districts can be a part of in the state. And AMLIP then handles all of our invested monies. I bet Jody also has other investments, I would bet. but I know that they also have AMLIP investments, and she's the vice president of the AMLIP board. So Jody definitely knows what's going on with our invested money.
Okay.
Which makes me feel extra confident. It's a great low risk. It's really easy, like liquidity. You know, some of it's same day and some of it's 1 to 2 day wait on getting cash into our checking account from the investment.
It's
so it's really low risk.
And everybody involved in AMLIP.
Yes, and part of my quarterly investment reports, AMLIP always, I always attach the quarterly AMLIP update, and that always, I think they include, but if it's not in there, I could send you a link to their site if you guys would like that. They list on their site all the municipalities and school districts that are part of that investing pool.
Okay.
And it just, right, it just gives us better buying power.
I'm just trying to understand, because one of the things I had learned at the, at the school board association, because I had asked, they were talking about funds that will count against, I'm going to phrase this wrong, funds that will count against.
The reserve?
Not the amount that the borough can give us.
Yeah.
On the local contribution max?
And those, but they haven't determined, so that it's still up in the air and they haven't determined, but they said it will be dependent on if we're participating with the borough in that. That's what they did say.
I think what you're referring to, and I think you're misunderstanding a little bit, if I can correct you, if that's right. So there's been some language that got put to the State Board of Education to change the administrative regulations and the law as to what would be counted as local contribution. Right now, it's only the direct appropriations from the borough. That's called the local contribution. And well, I'll update you on it, but the language would have been much more vague and wide-reaching, and it would have counted other local revenues, and investment revenue is coded per state guidance as a local revenue. And so if it was counting all local revenues, including donations or local grants through like Petersburg Community Foundation, if all those things were counted, then right, that would play into it. But I don't think this is a risk right now. The State Board of Education put it back to DEED. DEED is going to work with ALASBO, ASB, ACSA to workshop it some more and find language that really will work for DEED, because they're wanting things to be consistent, because different school districts are, you know, some school districts have activities in an activities fund, so it's separate from their operating fund. It doesn't count towards their local max, because right now the language is only that direct appropriation from the municipality into the school operating fund. So if you have other funds set up for some certain functions like activities or a preschool, because that's not fully funded by the state, those right now are outside the cap, but other districts, right, like we're funding activities in our preschool out of our general fund. So they're wanting things to be more consistent, and I think that's a good thing. It's just that the language that was originally proposed would have really been hurtful to a lot of municipal school districts and would have hurt our ability and hindered our ability to be funded to the level that we have been by our municipality.
So what I'm understanding is that is not going to...
was not approved by the Board of Education. They put it back to DEED to workshop and find a better solution, because there are some inconsistencies, and I do understand they are wanting things to be more equitable and consistently coded and tracked. I think that's a great goal, and so they're going to workshop it more and find a way that that doesn't hinder school districts' ability to be funded and find a better solution.
Okay.
So I don't think it's too much of a risk. I think even ALASBO, ACSA, ASB still have, you know, some fear that that could happen, because...
Well, I didn't really understand how, because what the way it was explained to me is that it was going to matter in what way we were participating with the borough in that. And yeah, so I'm just trying to understand it. So thank you.
Yeah, so right now our investment income, and just to clarify for the public, is not counted within our local contribution max. And I don't think that that is at great risk of being included in future language that's proposed to the State Board of Education. But it'll be workshopped, and we'll definitely know in advance, and there'll be a public process and opportunity for public input to the State Board of Education like there was this last summer, which kind of pushed them to push it back to DEED, like, oh, okay, the districts and communities are not liking this. So I feel hopeful that we'll reach a compromise that works for DEED and for districts. But
okay.
So I don't think those will be included.
Thank you.
Great question. Okay, so you were hopping into expenditures. Thank you, Mara. overall, our expenditures are only increasing $14,290. Again, that is the equivalent of that increased E-rate revenue. So that's only net change to expenditures, but there are a lot of changes within the expenditures. But we asked every increase to one expenditure line item be taken from somewhere else. So we were trying not to increase our overall expenditures. So the only real increase is that offset of the E-rate. But some of the things that did change within expenditures get shuffled around. We did increase our copier supplies contract. When John and I originally went out to contract, we didn't contract for enough usage. We were thinking we'd end fiscal year 25 differently with our overall usage. So when we saw where we actually came in, we did adjust that contract midsummer and built in. It was about $5,800 more, so not huge. We did increase musical instrument repair budget to $10,000. We don't even always have money built in the budget for this, and there really was a backlog in the music department of repairs and replacements that were really needed. So as we, of course, we know we have a large fund balance, more than we're allowed to carry, seemed appropriate to let Chelsea get those done. Increase to technology supplies, that's offset by E-rate. Added Chromebook software to old MacBook hardware that's for third through eighth grade use. And that was less than $8,000, great investment. So it's MacBook hardware, and then he's put Chromebook software on it, so it's like a great little Frankenstein that's making the device more appropriate for those age users, easier to manage and keep them on task.
And testing, it's been a benefit.
Yes.
Been huge.
Thank you. I was like, I think there's other benefits. Thanks, Robin and Cindy. Yeah, John and Cindy were having a lot of issues with the Mac OS, so now moving to Chromebook operating system, it's much better for our state testing. And we did decrease electricity about $30,000. We'll see how winter ends up. Now we're getting into kind of another snowmageddon of a winter, so if I have to, I'll increase that back a little more in the spring budget revision, but really, I think we've been pretty inflated in our electricity budget the last few years. I think last time we had a snowmageddon, 21, 22, whatever that was, our utilities and heating fuel just went like crazy high. And there is a slide in your guys' paper copies that shows that it's early in the packet. But yeah, I mean, it really was way more than was budgeted that year. And I think, you know, district leadership was like, oh, wow, we can't go that much over budget again. We need to budget more appropriately. But then I think we swung on the pendulum a little too far the other way. So I'm trying to come back into like an average year budget. But of course, every year it's different. So it's not the easiest thing to budget. But I feel like this will still be in range with that reduction. All right, we'll look at expenditures by function. And then we'll look at them by object code next. But again, function is why we're spending money, not what we're spending it on, but why. So school administration, sped instruction, school activities, operations and maintenance, so the purpose behind the dollar. And so that's what the winter budget is made up of. And the next slide here, you'll see that if you weren't really looking at the numbers, it looks like the same portions of the pie. There's some small changes, but overall pretty similar portions of the pie as in our original budget. Okay, and now by object code, so this breaks it down and you have it all, you can look at it in detail, a dollar amount and the percentage there for you in that table. And this next slide just shows you the comparison of our original budget to this winter revision. It's about the same portions of the pie. So we're not getting too off track in this winter budget revision. Got the same focuses, just moving a little bit around. You guys have any questions about that? Okay. All right, well, I don't know if you noticed, but we added a lot more revenue than we added expenditures, which brings us to a much larger ending fund balance. And this next slide really zooms in on the bottom of that. So our ending fund balance, we're allowed to exclude prepaids from that percent calculation that Deed holds us to. So once you exclude our estimated $480,000 in prepaid expenses for the next year, then the ending fund balance that's held to the 10% is 2.3 million and change, and that is over 20%. So we've got to spend at least half of that down. Okay, Mara, next slide, please. So we're going to talk a little more about that fund balance because it has been growing. So here's a history of where our fund balance has been last few years and those percentages. So again, in 2020, we weren't held to the 10%. That's why we went over. Before that, it was below. And, you know, we didn't want to spend it all down at once, but we've been a little overly conservative. And then we just haven't anticipated having all the vacancies that we've had and staffing. That's been a big contributor. So we're budgeting that we're going to end fiscal year 26, our current fiscal year, at that 2.3. But if you look at this next slide, we've had some very large budget to actual variances the last few years, and we had large ones even before that. I think there are a couple reasons why it spiked up from like that 2018 to 22, that range of like 150 to 300, well, even 380 almost, $1,000 budget to actual variances. And now we're, the last 2 years, we've had a $500,000 variance. One of the reasons I think that's happening is because those vacancies in staffing. We have not been able to have been fully staffed. We've had at least partial vacancies throughout the year, and then sometimes we find someone mid-year, but then someone else leaves, and so we've had way more vacancies than we used to. But then the other reason I think that this is larger than it used to be is the budget to actual variances tested on our final budget. So like, for us, that's our spring budget revision. That's our final budget for the year. And I think it's been past practice, definitely was in 2023, to kind of true the spring budget up a little more to what's actually happening in the year. And that's not something that I'm practicing, and that's not something I'm going to be practicing, because I want us to really see a little more true of our budget to actual variance. I want us to really see, like, well, how well are we budgeting? I have some work to do. We have a pretty big variance. Some things are pretty hard to build in, you know, those vacancy percentages for ours. Our staff are built into so many different parts in the budget. If I build it in here, like 10% across the board, but it's all in one school or one department, it becomes pretty difficult. So I have built in fiscal year 26, our current year. Some of those like estimated savings are pretty conservative because they can sometimes all be in one department or one school, and then it just kind of throws off our whole budget. But I'll be continuing to budget some of those and try to get better at that. But I'll probably also be presenting budgets to you and recommending to you to pass budgets that are using fund balance in budget, right, the plan, knowing that we've been having vacancies and we haven't been spending. So knowing that, we probably will have a budget to actual variance, and then hopefully we won't be spending that all down. So that's, I just really wanted you to see that history so you know, like, well, it's not that risky to budget to spend $300,000 of your fund balance if you're historically really always having a larger variance than that. Last couple years, and even before that, it was in that range. So it's not a very risky stance to take. All right, do you guys have any questions about that before we move on? Okay, well, knowing that information, we are currently budgeting in this winter budget revision that we will need to spend down at least $1,178,000 and change. That is that amount over the 10% limit. So that's the amount over that fund balance that we're allowed to carry. We've got to do something with that, or we have to give it back to the state. We don't want to do that. And we've got lots of needs to fill, so why would we? That is just what we're budgeting right now, knowing that we will probably have a budget actual variance at the end of this fiscal year. It'll likely be larger than that, but that's probably the minimum that it'll be that we need to spend down or transfer. So these can be spent on one-time things. or transferred to other funds. And we have more than enough, I will say, way more than enough identified in capital needs, that new condition survey that we got done this summer and that Aaron and Robin are working to prioritize, which has been a huge lift on their part, especially Robin. Thank you very much for doing that. That's a ton of work, but it's really great for us to get a better picture of what's everything that's been identified, what do we really feel like we need to get done, what do we have money for, do we need a transfer. We have way more than enough in justified capital needs that anything over that 10% could be transferred to capital. Indeed, wouldn't bat an eye, because we've got this condition survey, and then we would have a prioritized list that's being worked on. So that is an option. We also have other funds that can be contributed to. So that's just our main capital fund, but we have a vehicle replacement fund, a carpet flooring replacement fund. We've got...
We don't have that fund yet.
We don't have a
yet.
Special fund for that.
But that could, if that ended up on a priority list, it could be put in capital, the main capital fund set aside for it. Of course, we have food service, people transportation, other things like that. But we also have needs in our facilities for updated furniture, small tools and equipment upgrades, and probably other things that we don't really know about. So looking forward, the plan is to now, this month through February, administrators are working with their departments and staff to identify what those needs, those one-time expenditure needs are in their departments for maybe, you know, upgrades to furniture and tools, and maybe even like some more expensive classroom supplies and tools that, you know, we don't always have in our normal budget to support. And so they're going to be working on that through February. February, the district administration as a team will prioritize and evaluate those requests. And then we will come to you guys with what we would like to build into the spring budget revision for this year in one-time expenditures and propose those to you. I'm planning to bring that to you in March. That would be bringing the spring budget revision to you 2 months earlier than we usually do, but that would allow us then time at the end of March and April to get those purchases made. Sometimes those things, especially furniture, tools, equipment, like those things take more lead time and for shipping, and we need to get those expenditures in this fiscal year. So we want to bring that to you with enough time to actually get those things purchased. All right, and do you guys have any questions? We did talk a bit at the budget committee a couple weeks ago about, you know, one-time things and how few people felt that fund balance spend down should be prioritized. A few people mentioned that they would like to see some of that go to staff, which, if you'll remember, we did do that last year. We did give bonuses. So administration's going to be working on, you know, as we're evaluating those other requests for furniture and equipment and things, figuring out like, well, how much do we feel like we would want to spend on that, and how that would be done, whether it's a incentive for coming back the next year, like signing to come back for the next year, or longevity bonus or whatever. So that Robin will be working on developing that. Activities was brought up, ADA compliance and handicap needs were brought up. Some of those maybe would be small, but some of those might be larger capital needs that would maybe need to be prioritized in our capital lists. What else was kind of brought up? And then some things were brought up that really are capital, like window replacements to then save on utilities in the future. We do have some older windows, but that's a capital need. So people did have some ideas, and we'll be working the next couple months to really come up with how we think we should spend that down most responsibly. Any input from you guys on that? For questions?
I would like to see some, not just all that go to the buildings. I understand after going through that assessment, yes, we could, but any building that's not brand new will always have something that needs to be done to it. I would like to see, you know, during negotiations with both the teachers as well as the classified staff, you know, we kept hammering on, because at the time we really didn't have you know, good, solid information what was coming down from the state. And then our student count, we have been able to project pretty accurately, but literally 30 kids coming out of the woodwork that we had no idea, had not contacted the district ahead of time to say they were coming in. And so with all just kind of that beneficial changes, I'd like to see at least some of the money, whether it's a one shot in the arm for staff, would be great, because that was part of our negotiating problems. We didn't have enough money. And then now we have some, and we're not going to be able to see it in a year or two. Maybe we'll get another group of bunch of kids coming in as well, and the state ups the BSA, and we'll, you know, it'll be different. And when we go to renegotiate again. But at this point, I feel like we should, at least that was my feeling after going over this and thinking about it and just kind of realizing that, yes, we do need to address some at the building level, you know, the maintenance, to keep our buildings moving along. And maybe if there's other things that the administrators have know in their own buildings that need to be addressed, whether it's furniture or a program that can be done this year, even though that's the risk we run, is that we can't keep it going. So rewarding those that are already here working hard because of whether it's a lack of staff because we can't recruit anybody, we haven't been able to fill positions, somebody's still doing some of those jobs, and hopefully making staff feel less. If we can't solve it by hiring someone because nobody is applying, maybe we can try and make them feel at least appreciated financially.
Yeah. What is the retention rate for just the district on staff? Like, does it vary?
It varies,
like, crazy?
By class, yeah. By department and classification.
Mm-hmm. And the general consensus that people leave because of pay?
I wouldn't say our teaching staff necessarily. That tends to be pretty consistent. It's more of the classified staff.
I think we heard pretty overwhelmingly during negotiations that we were getting to a tipping point with that, and that financial incentives were needed, I think, to keep staff.
And I would say just like, it's harder to say our long-term people are here long-term, right? And they have been moving along. It's oftentimes we're seeing the first 5 years kind of people churn, and whether they are moving along fast enough, like our floor of where we start people.
Gotcha.
If they have felt like they've caught up enough versus someone who's been here 15 years, they might feel a little bit more stable where they are on the chart.
No, that makes sense. Just curious.
We do have a much higher turnover rate in our classified positions, so that's the support staff that aren't certified teachers, like paraprofessionals, janitorial, maintenance, food service. We have a much higher turnover rate.
Is that due to the seasonality of those jobs?
That's, I think, one thing that sometimes hurts it. I think to some people that's more attractive than they're off on the same breaks as their children.
Absolutely.
But to other people, yeah, it's not stable income all year round.
I was on this, Southeast. We are one of the lowest paying districts for our classified in Southeast. Ketchikan, I think, is anywhere between $25 and $33 an hour. Sitka is $27 to $35 an hour. So we are at the very lowest end for them, and then to make a living and live here and pay rent. And
yeah, maybe working maybe 9 or 10 months out of the year. It's not as...
Do we have an idea what their retention rate is on those jobs, like with the higher pay, or is it kind of a similar? And I'm not trying to get at anything specific.
Sure.
It's just.
That's a good question. Overall, my experience of being an administrator throughout the state, generally the classified positions come and go a lot.
It's a natural kind of
than a certificated salary position.
From last year to this year, I think we had over 25% turnover in classified positions. That's pretty huge. That's not historically how it always is, but I think this last year it was about 10 people.
I think it's hard too between Ketchikan and Sitka, knowing their budget situations too. Mm-hmm. They're letting go a lot of people to try to make up for some of those things that we're not having to.
The layoffs that happened at both.
Mm-hmm. So there's kind of a trade-off there of stability.
Yeah.
And some years we don't turn over as many as, I mean, it varies year to year. And sometimes it's people's personal thing, or they're moving, or, you know, there's a lot of reasons, but definitely higher than it used to be.
How many positions are currently open?
Is it just the part-time custodial?
That we're actively at this point, yeah.
So that, and there's no certified positions open?
We have one that we decided not to fill. We were trying to fill it, but then we're halfway through the year. I think we pulled it from posting. So, yeah, that's unfilled in the budget.
Yeah, we won't know until February-ish, I think. Is that what we're thinking?
The state funding.
Yeah. State funding, but also just what, who may or may not retire, mm-hmm. or...
You know, the certificated teachers, I think January 15th, if they are wanting to resign and have been with the district more than 8 years, that's where that bonus for an early notification comes mm-hmm. into play.
Otherwise, it's 30 days from the date that they're handed their contract, then we'll know.
Yeah. We were planning to do that about the same timeline as last year, getting those out.
The day after the board meeting in February?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other questions or comments? Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded to approve the fiscal year 2026 winter budget revision. Mark, could you please call the roll?
Yes. Mark Taylor?
Here.
Katie Holmland?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes.
Carrie Case?
Yes.
Kari Peterson?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes. Next, we'll move on to our resolution 2025-1, use of the construction manager general contractor. So this resolution allows for the use of a construction manager / general contractor, which is an alternative construction delivery method for phase two of the campus security and access improvement project. Hopefully you had a chance to read it over. I'll make a motion to approve the resolution 2025-1, use of construction manager general contractor. Could I have a second?
I'll second.
Motion has been made and seconded by Katie. Any discussion?
You have any questions about it? Any edits? Otherwise, we'll move along in accepting it.
Hearing no discussion or comments, all those in favor? Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Next, we'll move on to phase two, the LCG Land Tech contract. This item is to approve the bid proposals for the work with LCG Land Tech for phase two of the campus security and access improvement project. So I'll make a motion to approve that contract. Could I have a second?
I'll second.
Motion's been made and seconded by Carrie. Do we have any further discussion or questions or concerns?
We have a chance to review it.
Hearing no questions or comments, Mark, could you please call the roll?
Yes, Carrie Case?
Yes.
Kari Peterson?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes.
Mark Taylor?
Yes.
Katie Holmland?
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. Next, we'll move to policy update. There are two minor policy updates, retitling our board policy 6114.2 bomb threats, and changing that to an administrative regulation 6114.2 bomb threats, and then also changing our board policy 6114.4 pandemic and epidemic emergencies to an AR 6114-4 pandemic and epidemic emergencies. Both of these administrative regulations will then fall under that board policy 6114 crisis response plan, as it does in many other districts. And as written, they are not standalone policies, but are more actionable instructions as the ARs are intended to be. So there aren't any actual changes within that policy language. It's just moving it for board policies versus AR, give our administrative staff guidance on how to carry out our board policy. So it's just mislabeled. So I will make a motion to approve the retitling of the board policy 6114.2 bomb threats to the AR 6114.2, and then also board policy 6114.4 pandemic and epidemic emergencies to the AR 6114.4. Could I have a second?
I'll
I'll second.
Motion's been made and seconded by Carrie. Are there any questions or concerns about this change? Okay, hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Signify by aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Any additional comments from board members? Hearing none. Upcoming dates and media announcements. We know that we've got basketball this weekend, so check our Facebook page and as well as the app for an update on maybe Saturday's games, but we know Friday is at 7. And music concert started 2 minutes ago, so you can still meet it, and middle school is tomorrow night. So any other comments or updates? Okay. Any future agenda items?
Taking off my school board hat for a moment, mm-hmm. Becky Turland and I will be once again teaching teen mental health first aid, so it's the same curriculum that the board approved last year, but if anyone wants to review it again, I can make those materials available in the district office.
I still have them.
Okay. What's that?
I still have them.
Okay.
Oh,
so they're at
super.
The district office.
Mara will make them available to you.
Okay. Other new business? We don't have any, so I'll make a motion to adjourn. Can I have a second?
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded by Kari. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Nobody's opposing? Good night. Thank you.